Welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
I do want to thank Carol and Bethany for that wonderful duet this morning. It was great. I really appreciate that. It's always good to have John and Carol and their family with us in church. We appreciate them and have appreciated them for a number of years. We went to school together, both at Cal Baptist and at Golden Gate, and have kept in touch with each other over the years of our ministry. John and Carol are up in the northern part of the state, up in Red Bluff area, and we appreciate the time they come down and visit family. They come and be with us here at church. This morning we take a look at false prophets. And there's a whole mess of material that I could give you regarding false prophets. I told the AV team this past Thursday that I had about 12 pages of notes regarding false prophets and so on and so forth, and usually when I speak on Sunday mornings, we're pressed for time, especially in the early service, but hardly enough time to get everything in, and so I continue to struggle with all of this because there's so much that we need to open our eyes to and to realize. I thought about naming names this morning of some contemporary false prophets and false teachers. I thought about giving you quotes of some of the things that they have said, some of the things that they have written, but I feel it best that we go back into the Word of God and we come to terms with what the Lord has to say and do like they used to teach the bank tellers in the banks when they were training new tellers. Become most familiar with the genuine article. That way you can tell a counterfeit the moment you see it. So when we come back to the Word of God and we focus our attention on the Word of God and we know what God has to say in His Word, then we can detect a counterfeit when we hear him, when we see him. Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. Jesus warned us, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them. You will know them. You will know them by their works." Jesus makes it very clear that even though these individuals sound good and they sound great and they act like they should and they seem orthodox in every single way, it is by their lives and by their ministries that Jesus said, "You will know them." The Thyatirian church had on staff a false prophetess who led the people into spiritual and moral corruption. Now, this was a serious problem in the Old Testament. They had false prophets then. It was serious in the New Testament. We're seeing that even more clearly as we go through the letters of Christ to the churches. And it's a serious problem now. Well, the world is going to continue to see the Balaams and the Jezebels and the Mohammeds and the Joseph Smiths and the Charles Taz Russells and the David Koreshes and the Jim Joneses. The world has seen them. The world will continue to see them until Christ comes again. And there will always be men and women who profess to be the spokesman of God, who claim to have the power to change your life, to save your soul, and to guarantee you a place in the kingdom of God. But what's most disturbing to me, and what should be most disturbing to the Christian church, is how these Balaams and these Jezebels have established themselves as spiritual authorities in the church of Jesus Christ. That's what astounds me more than anything else. I want you to take your Bibles and let's go to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to spend some time in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verses 18 through 23. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 23. Notice the words of the Apostle John. "Little children, it is the last hour." Now, read carefully. "Little children, it is the last hour. Time is drawing to an end. This era is coming to a close. And as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come." They're everywhere. Woods are full of them. They're as thick as fleas on a dog's back. No reflection on your dogs, Brother Steve, but they're everywhere. They're in society. They're in practically every organization. And they're in many, many of our churches. Even now, many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Who are these false prophets? And how can they be identified? Well, first of all, a true prophet of God is one who speaks God's truth, or he is one who reveals God's future plans. A false prophet does neither. A false prophet is a liar. A false prophet is a deceiver. Lying prophets say they speak for the Lord. But what they say either contradicts what God has already said. Listen, what they say either contradicts what God has already said, or what they say cannot be supported by what God has already said. They either contradict the Word of God, or there is no support in the Word of God for what they say. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 through 22, Moses says, what they predict, if it does not come to pass, you can identify that individual as a false prophet. That's a lying prophet. A deceiving prophet is more subtle and more secretive. These individuals look good, they sound good, and they act good. But over the course of time, they begin to replace biblical doctrine in your mind and in your heart. They begin to replace biblical doctrine with their own teachings, with their own opinions, and with their own perverted and corrupt interpretation of God's Word. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, listen what the apostle has to say. No prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. Do you hear the prophet? Do you hear the apostle? No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who inspired the individuals to write Scripture is the same Holy Spirit who will interpret Scripture to your understanding. We have not the authority of God to interpret the Word of God any way we please. We do not have the authority to interpret it according to our denominational shibboleths. We have no authority to interpret it according to our own mindset, to our own way of doing things. We interpret the Scriptures as the Holy Spirit of God gives us power, knowledge, and understanding to interpret it. No Scripture, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Bear that in mind. False prophets and deceiving prophets will turn you away from the Lord through their lies and through their deceits, and they will corrupt you with their immoral and unethical behavior. And again, Moses in Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 4 says, mark them, identify them, and be rid of them. Now, I want us to note the character. I want us to note their character. John writes here in 1 John chapter 2. John writes, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. In Titus chapter 1 verse 16, the apostle writes, they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. False prophets and false teachers can't speak for the Lord because they don't know the Lord. They're not Christian. They're not of the faith. They talk about faith and they encourage you to have faith, but in them, not in Jesus Christ. They turn you away from the Lord and they turn you to themselves. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, the apostle tells us that these servants of Satan are self-willed and they are presumptuous. They want the preeminence in your life. They claim to be the most important spiritual voice that you will ever hear, even above the Holy Spirit, even above the Bible. And they'll criticize and they'll condemn anyone who challenges their importance or their authority. They want you to listen to them and to them only. They don't want you to listen to any other preacher, any other teacher. They don't want you to read any other book. They want you to focus your full attention upon them. They want preeminence in your life. Now, John says they came out from us. Many of these individuals have been raised in the church, and so they know church language. They know the words to say to hook you. They not only know church language, but they also know church polity and church politics and church procedures. But they don't embrace the Jesus of the true Christian church. They know all about the church, even better than most of us. And they know that, and with that knowledge, they know how to manipulate you and how to hook you and how to draw you into their way of thinking. But they don't know the Jesus of the Christian church. They left the faith, as John says. And like Hymenaeus and Philetus, they work to turn you away from the true faith. Paul warns Timothy about this in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 17. Now in 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 through 3. And I know a lot of this stuff, I'm throwing a lot of this stuff out. So get the DVD and go back and look at it again. Listen to it again if you can't write it down fast enough. There are ways that you can go back and review this stuff, but you need to know this, friends. You need to know this because they're knocking on your door. They're coming into your homes through your TV, through your radio. You're buying their books down at the bookstore. You need to know who they are. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the apostle says, they teach lies among the brethren secretly and subtly, almost undetected in the church. They teach their lies secretly and subtly. Paul tells us they use flattering words to deceive the simple-hearted. Romans chapter 16, verse 18. Like Satan who deceived Eve, their words sound true, but they twist the truth of God into a lie. Peter says that they're so persuasive and they sound so spiritual that many in the church follow after them. And he warns the church in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. He warns them against these subtle and secret deceivers. In Matthew 7, verse 15, Jesus said, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. They look good. They sound good. But they'll kill you. They'll destroy your faith. In Titus chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, the Bible tells us that these individuals, listen to them long enough. Read them long enough and you'll begin to see coming to the surface their true motives and their true intent. In Titus chapter 1 verses 10 and 11, the Bible tells us that these individuals are always greedy for material wealth. They're always greedy for material wealth. They'll harp on it and harp on it and harp on it until you're sick of it. They're greedy for material wealth. They will stoop to the lowest levels of manipulation and guilt to keep their coffers full and their constituents under their influence and under their control. They'll use guilt trips. They'll use all kinds of manipulative tools. They'll talk about a bargain that you can get, a prayer cloth that you can buy, a special Bible that you can have, a special brick that'll go into their building, and so on and so forth, to get you to open up your pocketbook to fund their ministries. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Isn't it interesting? I find this very, very interesting. Isn't it interesting how God freely blesses those who are faithful to Him. But every benefit of a false prophet comes with a price tag. You don't get anything free from them. You even have to pay to go hear them speak at a stadium or in a conference hall. But every benefit from heaven is free to those who are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you got to pay your way to listen to these false prophets and teachers. They are immoral. They are unethical, according to Jude verse 4 and Revelation chapter 2 verses 14 and 20. They appear to be holy and righteous. They appear to be holy and righteous and chaste to the public. But sexual sin, and this is another pitfall of these false prophets and teachers, sexual sin, immorality, is only a closed door away for them. And many of them engage in all kinds of unethical and immoral behavior that you'll never hear about. But once you get involved with them and in their organizations, it will become very, very apparent. Now in 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 20. John said to the Ephesian Christians that they have anointing from the Holy One. The true believer is anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. Every true follower of Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit of God indwelling them. That is a promise of Jesus Christ, that He would send His Holy Spirit and He would be the one who leads you to the truth, and by that truth you're going to be set free from sin, you're going to be set free from the lies and deceits of the world. You have the Holy Spirit if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And he also says in verse 20 that they know all things. That is, they know the things pertaining to God. They know the things pertaining to the truth of the kingdom. But these false teachers are not anointed by the Holy Spirit. They have power, my friends, but their power doesn't come from heaven. They have power, but their power comes from the Father of lies. They're not anointed by the Holy Spirit like they want you to believe. And they don't know the things of God. They're from their father, the devil. Their doctrines are twisted. Their faith is corrupt. Their power is evil. And their end, and the end of all who follow them, is destruction. What about their doctrines? Time will not permit. And I couldn't, even if I had all day, I couldn't give you a list of all of the false teachings and the misinterpretations and all of the erroneous lies and deceit that are being spewed out. Listen, I just went on the internet, and you can do this too. I mean, if you're computer literate and you can get on the internet, just go and Google false prophet. And you will have page after page after page after page after page after page after page after. I spent hours just going through the names and the things that have been said and the things that have been written from these people. And it is amazing to me how people can actually believe what they have to say and what they have to write. It astounds me how people can be so gullible to swallow the lies that these people are putting out over the airwaves and in printed matter. The first thing that you need to note, and the first thing that you need to be fully and clearly aware of, is that a false prophet and a false teacher will do one of two things with Jesus. You got to ask yourself, whenever you're listening to these individuals or whenever you're reading their materials, what do they do with Jesus? What about Jesus? That needs to be the first question that comes to mind to any individual that you listen to. Whether he's classed as a false prophet or not, whether he's some visiting preacher or some visiting evangelist, or whether you're just browsing through the bookstore, you need to ask yourself the first fundamental question: what do they do with Jesus? A false prophet or a false teacher will do one of two things with Jesus. Number one, they will either reject him outrightly or they will minimize who he is and his importance in your life. They will marginalize, they will reject or attack Jesus, or they will focus on things other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't want you to hear about Jesus. They don't want to talk about Jesus because they know the name is powerful that is able to confront you in sin and open up your eyes to the truth of God. So they don't talk about him. They marginalize him. They reject him outright. Or they minimize him to the extent that he has no significance in anything they have to say or anything they have to do. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, listen to the Apostle Paul as he writes to the churches of the region of Galatia. Christian churches in the region of Galatia. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Paul writes, "I marvel that you're turning away so soon. You're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. A different gospel, which is not another gospel. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let that person be cursed. Paul tells the churches of Galatia, there are all kinds of people coming your way talking about all kinds of things under the sun. And they want you to hear this and they want you to believe that. But if they preach or if they teach anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, that man, that woman is a liar, a deceiver, a false prophet. Don't listen to them. Cast them away. Don't have anything to do with them. They are cursed by God. The doctrines of false prophets and false teachers deny Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as the sole Savior for the human soul. Listen, as the sole Savior for the human soul. Now, some of them say Jesus Christ is important and you need to trust in Jesus Christ, but you always got to wait for the but. But you got to do this. You got to do that. You got to give so much here. You got to make so many calls. You got to knock on so many doors. You got to attend so many crusade services. You got to do this. You got to do that. It's Jesus and this, Jesus and that, Jesus and my ministry, Jesus and my crusade, Jesus and who I am. It's Jesus and something else. And that is another gospel that Paul warned us against. It is another gospel that John warned us against. It is another gospel that Jesus warned us against. They want to minimize, marginalize Jesus Christ. They deny him as the Son of God. They deny him as the Messiah. They deny him as the Savior of the human soul. So what do? They make him out to be the brother of Satan. They make him out to be a created angel, a phantom and not a man, or a man and not divine. They call him another prophet like Muhammad or a great teacher like Confucius or Buddha. These false teachers and these false prophets, they minimize the importance of Jesus and his work, while at the same time they maximize the importance of their own organizations and their works. They don't want you to focus your attention upon Jesus. They want you to focus your attention upon them. They don't want you to focus your attention upon the Church of Jesus Christ. They want you to focus your attention upon their specific organization. They don't want you to give to the ongoing work of the ministry of the kingdom of God. They want you to give to the ongoing work of their particular ministry. It's all about them, and it's not about Jesus. You need to mark that. You need to note that, my friend. What do they say, and what do they do with Jesus? Now, their gospel is a gospel of money. It's a gospel of prosperity. It's a gospel of fame. It's a gospel of power and of influence. Turn with me to Jeremiah 14, 14. Jeremiah 14, 14. That's in the Old Testament, by the way. The weeping prophet, the broken-hearted prophet. Jeremiah, chapter 14, verse 14. The Lord said to Jeremiah, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you four things. You need to note the four things that they prophesy. All false prophets will do these four things. They will prophesy four things. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, worthless things, and the deceit of the heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, whom I did not send, and who will say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine, those prophets shall be consumed. In other words, their own works will hang them. But four things I want us to note. First of all, their doctrines revolve around the spectacular. They say they see visions, and many of them do. But these visions are not from God. They say that they see angels and dead saints. They see the Mother Mary, the apostles of the Lord, or religious leaders of the past. But these manifestations are not from God. These individuals do not come back from the dead as ghosts or as apparitions to speak to you and to speak to me. These are demonic forces. These are demonic powers that they're talking to. They're not people who have gone on to be with God in glory. These doctrines are, secondly, demonic. They're not only spectacular, but they're demonic. They read tarot cards, they read chicken bones and tea leaves and such, and they tell you certain things in vague generalities that may or may not happen in your future. They chart the stars, and they look into a crystal ball, they read your palm, and they divine your future. They tell you about your future, but what they say is not from the Word of God. Thirdly, their doctrines are idolatrous. They're spectacular. They're demonic. But they're also idolatrous. They encourage you, listen, they encourage you to put your faith in worthless things, Jeremiah says. They want you to put your faith in a prayer closet, or a particular Bible, or a particular church, or a particular amulet, or some little charm, or statue, or picture, rather than in the Lord Jesus Christ. They invite you to talk to your ancestors, or to your dead religious leaders, or to venerate the saints, or to pay homage to relics. And all of this, I know many of us are soft-hearted toward other individuals, but all of this, according to Scripture, is idolatry. And it's a bane to the heart of God. It corrupts God's people, and it takes them away from the truth. The Lord hates idolatry. But Satan uses it to trap the foolish heart into believing that such things have divine power. Put that little Jesus on your dashboard. Hang that cross above your bed. Wear that amulet around your wrist or put it around your neck. These things will protect you from the forces of evil. Listen, my friend, there is only one power in all of the earth that will protect you from evil, and that's the power of God's Holy Spirit, amen? Not some necklace, not some bracelet, not some picture, not some little idol that you have. Only the power of God's Holy Spirit will protect God's people from the evil one. But that's not what they'll tell you. Buy my book. Send in your cards and letters and get a prayer cloth. Do what you need to do to get my special interpretation of the Bible. Read it. And all of these things will protect you. Why? Because you're my follower. And I've got pull with God. Not only that, their doctrines, according to Jeremiah 14:14, their doctrines send people into delusions. They say, follow me, trust in me, and everything is going to be well. But Jesus said in Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, enters into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. It is a part of their doctrinal structure that they attack the Bible and the veracity of the Bible. They reject the Bible as the Word of God, or they lead you to believe that it's insufficient, that it's lacking, and that it cannot give you true knowledge and understanding of spiritual truth. And because they reject the Bible as the sole authority for Christian faith and practice, they have to come up with a system of beliefs and a system of writings that support the things that they teach, that support their twisted and their defective theology. And so we have the Doctrine and the Covenants. We've got the New World Translation. We've got science and health with a key to the Scriptures. We've got Dianetics and everything else that you can think of to help people come to an understanding of the truth that is very clearly given to us in God's Word. And all you need to do is to rely upon the Holy Spirit and His power to give you the understanding of the truth. He wrote it. He inspired it. He can interpret it to your understanding if you just listen to Him. They attack not only the Bible, but they also attack the cardinal doctrines of the faith. And they're very subtle in this. But they're very clear in it also. They attack the cardinal doctrines of the faith. Just a few. Salvation is not by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation is by obedience to their teachings and submission to their practices and loyalty to their leaders and to their organization. Man is not a sinner, but he's simply defective in a few areas, and he needs adjusting in his mentality, his spirituality, or his morality. For many of them, hell is not real. Heaven is what you make it. The Holy Spirit is a force. Sin is a farce. The Bible is outdated, and the church is outmoded. Everything that the Bible says is true regarding the kingdom of God, they deny. But many people don't see that. Many people don't understand that because they don't know what the Bible has to say about such things. So what about their methods? False prophets and false teachers are like wolves, Jesus said. They prey on the spiritually shallow and the spiritually weak. Now, here's where I'm going to get really pointed. So don't get mad at me. Just listen. They prey on the spiritually shallow and the spiritually weak. Satan knows that the vast majority of Christians are nominal in their faith and shallow in the teachings of the Bible. And how does he know that? Because I know that. You know, and I'm just a dumb old larky. I know that many of us spend more time reading our favorite magazines and newspapers, watching the idiot box, and doing this, that, and the other on telephones than we spend in the Word of God. And when it comes, listen, I don't mean this to slam anybody, but truth is truth. For many of us, when it comes to knowing what this book has to say, we are completely ignorant. We don't know what the Bible has to say. And the reason I know that we don't know is because if we did know, we wouldn't be living like we do. We wouldn't be saying the things that we say. Certain things that we allow in our lives wouldn't be allowed at all. And it's all because we don't know what the Bible has to say. Satan knows that the vast majority of Christians are either nominal in their faith or shallow in what the Bible has to say. So he sends these charlatans to you and to me to confuse us and to confound us. And like wolves, they isolate those who are spiritually weak. And they trap them and they destroy them with words that sound orthodox but are in truth lies. And it's amazing to me, like Satan manipulated the words of God to trap Eve, they manipulate those individuals who can't tell the truth from heaven from a lie out of hell. So their methods are to isolate the weak, identify them and isolate them, identify and isolate the ignorant. Those who are not strong in the faith, move them away from the crowd. Work on them. Deal with them. Trap them. Get them to follow. Secondly, they infiltrate the church. They get into the church. That was the problem in Thyatira. There was a woman there who called herself a prophetess of God, but Jesus declared to the church that he has nothing to do with her. She is a false prophet, and they need to be rid of her. They infiltrate the church. How? Well, just think. How do these people get into the church? Through conflict. One way is through conflict. They'll infiltrate the church through conflict, through a weak pastor or through weak leaders, through a ministry or an organization in the fellowship. They polarize people, creating factions and cliques and special interest groups that consider themselves superior to every other group in the church. And then they develop their own support group, a constituency, if you will. And when the time is right, they take over. They create conflict by questioning the authority of the pastor or the leaders or the Word of God. And through that conflict, they begin to polarize people by their backdoor gossip, by their grapevine talk. They polarize people into camps. They form cliques. They get their support going. And when they think they have enough people to work with him in a coup, they take over. They also challenge the authority of the pastors and the elders in the church. They look for weaknesses or flaws in their character or in their conduct, and they publicly capitalize on that to turn the congregation against the leader. Listen, friends, I'm no saint, as the Catholic Church identifies saints. I've got weaknesses, I've got flaws. I'm not a perfect individual, and those of you who've known me long enough realize that. I never declared myself to be above reproach or above sin in my life. I realize that I have weaknesses. I realize that I have flaws. But these individuals will come in, and they will make the congregation think that a pastor or a deacon or an elder needs to be perfect. They need to be circumspect. They need to be pure in every area of their life. And they'll begin to capitalize publicly on the flaws of the pastor or the teachers or the elders or the leaders. Then they move to have these individuals replaced with one of their own. They get you to think that you're doing the church a favor by dismissing the true servant of the Lord and by accepting one of their own teachers. That's how they work, and they're very successful at it. They're very, very good at it. But the last thing I want to point out to us this morning, time is gone. How do we deal with false prophets and false teachers? We've talked a little about who they are, a little bit about their character, their doctrines and their methods. How do we deal with them? And again, this is ever so short and so brief, my friends. We could spend all day on this because there's so much to it. How do we deal with them? Well, Jesus told the Thyatirans what? In verse 25. In Revelation 2:25, Jesus tells the church at Thyatira, "Hold fast what you have till I come." Identify this woman as a false prophet and then deal with her. Hold fast what you have until I come, Revelation 2:25. Hold fast what? Well, there are four things that we need to hold fast to. First of all, we need to hold fast to the Word of God, the Bible. We need to hold fast to the truth of God's Word. Let me simply encourage you, my friend, to know your Bible. Know the Bible. Read it carefully. Read it often, read it with prayer, and read it with understanding. False prophets and false teachers undermine the Scriptures and your faith through their worldly philosophy, through their humanistic rationalizations, and through their empty arguments. But use God's truth as a guide to lead you through the quagmire of their false and their worldly teaching. We don't need to defend the Bible. The Bible will defend itself, amen? We just need to honor it. We just need to lift it up. We just need to honor it. We need to obey it. Know your Bible. And if you want to know how God sees the importance of Scripture, read Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, but it is one of the critical passages of Scripture because it ingrains in the mind of the young Hebrew child how important the Word of God is. Read Psalm 119 and realize how important it is for you to know the Word of God. Secondly, know your spiritual leaders. Know the Word of God, but know your spiritual leaders. God has placed them here for a reason. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, Solomon writes, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Make sure that your counselors are spiritual and biblical. Trust no man, listen to me, trust no man who does not trust the Word of God and use it as the basis for their counsel. I have people coming to me all the time. Marital counseling, premarital counseling, problems with this, problems with that. And immediately we go to the Word of God. We get into the Bible. And some of them look at me like a calf looks at a new gate. They look at me like a deer in the headlights. Like, well, what are you going to the Bible for? Listen, my friend, if the Bible doesn't have the truth of God that addresses every situation in human life, then we need to throw it away. We need to do away with it and get on with something else. True spiritual counselors hold to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God again and again and again. Teach people to come to the Word of God and learn from the Word of God how to live their lives. So know the Bible and know your spiritual leaders. The third thing is know sound doctrine. Know what you believe and know why you believe it. It's not enough just to know what you believe. You can go through a whole litany of things. Well, I believe that God is the Father and He and God is the Son and God is the Holy Spirit and I believe in heaven and I believe in hell and I believe this and I believe... But why do you believe those things? Not only should you know what you believe, you should know why you believe it. Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Know the Bible. Know what you believe. Derive your doctrine from scripture. Don't create your own doctrine and then go to scripture for support. Read the Bible and from your reading, derive an understanding of the true doctrines of God. Listen to me. Easy words are often empty words. Easy words are often empty words. God's truth demands our utmost, our highest. Sometimes when we read His truth, it hurts us. But understand, dear friend, after the hurt comes healing. Amen. Sometimes the truth of God's word stings in your soul. Sometimes it exposes those deep, dark sins. Sometimes it reveals areas where Jesus is not Lord. Don't shy away from it. Don't turn away from it. Don't hide from it. Let God's word do its work in your life. It will sting. It will hurt. But it will also heal the sin-sick soul. No sound doctrine. Biblical doctrine. It's the sure antidote for a weak and a shallow faith. And then finally, know the ways of love. Know the ways of love. Know the Bible. Know your spiritual leaders. Know sound doctrine, but also know the ways of love. Listen to me. False prophets and false teachers do not love the Lord God. And they do not love the Lord's people, and they do not love the Lord's church. They are in love with themselves. They are in love with their own words and the works, and they're in love with the resources that they can bilk you out of through their lies and their deceit. They do not love the Lord, and they do not love the Lord's people. They don't love the Lord's word. They don't love the Lord's work. They don't love the Lord's kingdom. They don't love the Lord's church. But divine love, godly love, takes preeminence over all things. It takes the preeminence over our gifts and powers, over preaching and teaching, over material wealth and physical health. God's love ranks highest in the true follower of Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. God's love will be seen beyond everything else in the life of the true follower of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, it is greater than faith and in hope. In 1 Corinthians 13:3, it is greater than miracles or martyrdom. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, it marks the true follower of Jesus Christ. And in Mark 12, 29 and 30, it is the greatest of all of the commandments of God. And a false prophet, a false teacher, will never demonstrate that kind of love in their lives or in their ministries. Know them, mark them, avoid them like the plague. Pray with me. Father, there is so much that your word has to say, both Old and New Testament, regarding these individuals who come to steal souls, who come to ensnare them and entrap them into the jaws of hell. And Father, we oftentimes just kind of roll our eyes and turn a deaf ear and go our way without exposing these individuals for who they are. And yes, Lord, I know sometimes we're afraid that if we are to confront and if we are to expose, that we'll be labeled as narrow-minded, we'll be labeled as intolerant, we'll be labeled by this and by that. But Father, it is our responsibility as leaders in the church, it is our responsibility as a Christian church to teach people, to instruct people, to disciple people in the truth of your word. And to not let the lies of these false teachers just pass on like water off a duck's back. God, help us to do what your Holy Spirit indwells us to do. That is to know the truth, to speak the truth, to live the truth, and to use the truth to expose the lies of these false prophets who come to steal your sheep. Father, there may be an individual here who doesn't know Jesus Christ. And maybe they have been listening to some of these individuals, and maybe their heart's been disturbed, but they don't know why. Now they do. Maybe there are individuals who've been trapped by these prophets and by these teachers, and their lives have been made a mess. Their lives been turned upside down, and they want to be set free. They want to know what true forgiveness is all about. They want to know what true life is all about. They want eternal life. They want Jesus. I ask, Lord God, today your Holy Spirit will speak to the heart. Help them to realize that there is a very simple procedure outlined in your word that we need to follow. That if we will confess with our lips the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. Your word tells us that you loved us so much you sent your son to die on a cross, and all who put their faith and trust in him will not perish but have eternal life. You've asked us, Lord God, to simply trust in you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our understanding, and to lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways follow you. You'll direct our paths. Lord God, these are very simple truths from your word, but they're very profound because they change lives. I pray that those lives today will be changed by the embracing not only of your written word, but also by embracing the living word, Jesus Christ himself. For that lost soul, I pray, Father, you will bring them to faith in Jesus Christ even now. And for brothers and sisters, Lord God, who've long been dormant in the spiritual warfare against false prophets and against false teachers, I pray that you will wake us up. Father, you'll shake us up. And that, Lord God, you'll get us up off of our couches of comfort and get us out into the battlefield for souls to let them know that there is a Savior who reigns, and his name is Jesus. And people need to know about him. Father, have your will and have your way in this time of decision. We ask even now in Christ's name. Amen. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.